Technique first work, you know.
Yeah.
Hey guys, welcome. We're live from Supernatural Whispers podcast. And do apologize about the delay. It's been having crazy tech issues. I blame the gremlins. I had an awesome guest waiting in the green room. And it was definitely, see if I can say that right, Elgady.
Elgady. Thank you, Italian.
Yeah, I'm so close.
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay. But yeah, it's definitely okay. And in my life, I should turn off by yourself is possessed. I need to get some holy water. But I left the holy water in my other room. So hopefully I'm going to play nice now. And I'm going to do a proper introduction. And a sponsor message. So we do have two awesome sponsors. I want to thank J.D. Hill from Studio 6 Paranormal Entertainment and Brian J. Laverty from Paranormal Entertainment. Brian is from Parapills. So they will yell at me later. What's wrong with me? I recorrected myself. So my mind is elsewhere. I'm trying to get on to help y'all to see and hear us. And feel free to send us your questions. And you might hear our little dog in the background. She's wanting to get out. So none of those dogs. But you don't know, it might chime in. So yeah, welcome guys to another awesome show. And yeah, and I'm your host. I forget to introduce myself sometimes. I'm your host, Nicole Jasper, or Nikki. I know by Nikki as well. And I'm also a psychic medium for many years. And we have quite a few things in common, don't we? I mean, we're both into the paranormal, and we're both part of the awesome Warren Legacy Foundation.
Yes, we are.
And yeah, if you want to go from there and introduce yourself, and I will bring you up.
Well, I just like to go by Stephanie. I really don't like titles or labeling myself too much. It's a little bit too much pressure for me. I'm already socially awkward. So I feel that just adds a level of anxiousness to me that I feel a lot of pressure. Really, you're held to standards when you kind of give yourself some labels, at least in my experience. So I try to just be me. It's easier that way, and then I don't feel like I'm under so much pressure or an expectation from others. Oh, I hear your puppies.
Sorry.
No,
I got to cut an alarm. No, should I just let you out? Are you kidding me? All right, I'm sorry. You want to take over for a minute?
He wants to say hi. Hi. Yeah, no, you've got puppies. I've got a toddler, so if you hear like a door from, like slamming open, it's my 4-year-old coming to check out what I'm doing.
Mom, take her back to myself.
Gonna be like my cats. I try to lock my cats out, and I've got 3 of them. As soon as I sit down and get one taken care of, I got 2 others like beating down my door. I have one that will literally like knock on my door so loud that they'll get the door open. It drives me nuts. Hi. I'm not sure who you are. It just shows me Facebook user.
Okay. Sorry. Hey, sorry about this. That was the little option to go to bar. I apologize about this, guys. So I hope you guys don't mind wearing my Halloween costume. It is Halloween week.
I don't know if they can see you. I can't see you, so I don't know if they can see you.
Yeah, I have to bring myself up.
Oh, there you are.
Yay, I did it.
Yeah, you did it. On the first try, too. How
about that? Yay. I had to do that, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Adam. I'm actually the young version of Wednesday Adam.
Yeah?
I didn't pass for that, I guess.
Oh, I should have. I don't have a costume. I usually am the one that likes to pass out candy and watch everybody else dress up. I don't have a costume, but I do have a really cool background. I pulled it out. It's a little spooky.
All right, and we shall be back after this intro. I keep forgetting to do that. Sorry. I'll be right back. We'll be back. Stay tuned. Okay. I don't know, it's my laptop, I swear it's possessed.
Oh, okay.
It has a couple of gremlins in there. So we're back, and yeah, so I know we're both part of the Water Lake Foundation. So what actually, if I may ask, what sparked your interest in the paranormal in the first place?
Well, I've kind of been a weirdo my whole life. So I've had that aspect. Yeah, things happening, experiences, not really knowing how to explain it or talk to others about it. But what got me into the paranormal was it was kind of like a traumatic event. Usually people who get into this line of work have a traumatic event or something that they've experienced, and it kind of just flips the switch for them. But for me, it was I was living overseas in North Africa, and we were living in Tripoli, Libya. And at the time, it was great, but the reason why we had to move back was because of the civil unrest and just a lot of turmoil in the country between infighting. And then, of course, NATO decided to bomb, and we happened to live very close to some government buildings. So we ended up going through that for 2 months, being stranded in Tunisia and having to deal with the aftermath of experiencing like bombs dropping out of the sky. And
oh, wow.
A lot of people, when they hear, the US, yay. I think that they'll have a different outlook on that when they've actually had to live through a bomb coming out of the sky and you're not knowing where it's gonna land. And just the sound and the sheer terror that those things bring. And anyway, so we ended up going through this whole thing for 2 months where we're trying to get out of the country and make our way back here to the US. And it was in 2011. I remember we had just gotten settled here. I had gotten back to work, gotten a job. And this is going to sound crazy, but that's when Ghost Adventures came out. Or that's when I first watched one of the shows from Ghost Adventures. And that's what really kind of sparked like the interest in the paranormal. And I know everybody kind of thinks that's cliche because it's Ghost Adventures.
Right, yeah.
Absolutely attribute that show to like sparking that interest in me and getting me to ask questions and just, what kind of equipment are they using? Why are they doing this? And where are they going? And so it was just, for me, it was a way to cope with having to come back and restart life again, start all over after having to go through that experience overseas. And that's kind of what I latched on to since then. And it's just kind of developed. I really didn't hit the paranormal right off the bat after that. It was more along the lines of me just following and watching all these places that people were visiting and investigating and using, the things like the K2 when it first came out or the Ovilus. And back in the day, those were like the tools that you had that, if you were investigating, you had a K2 or you had an Ovilus or you had a spirit box. I remember watching, Gary Gulka on Ghost Adventures.
Oh, yeah.
And he was talking about his daughter, Melanie, and his family. And out of that tragedy came the Melmeter. And so that's where I learned a lot about why people were using those instruments and what they were doing and hoping to achieve. And it wasn't really until the pandemic, you know, when the pandemic started and everybody was like having to stay home. I can't remember if it was like right before it all started, but I remember seeing a post in it was a group in Atlanta looking for investigators, and I was like, you know what, it's got to be a sign. So I signed up for it, got on a team, learned so much from them, had great times with them, really connected with them, and learned a ton of stuff.
Yeah, you're part of a team. In fact, did you founded that team as well?
Well, that team I didn't find. I was just, they were looking for members, and I decided that that was my sign to join up, and had a great mentor on that team, wonderful team.
Right.
I'm no longer with that team, but I have co-founded another team with a couple of other members from that team as well. Right now, we're kind of branding ourselves and getting our feet wet and situated. We're called Peach State Paranormal. But once I joined that group and really got going, I just really hit it head on, just soaked up every ounce of information I could from that team. All the experiences were very valuable for me, and I learned so much. And then I think later on, down the road, it must have been 6 months, the foundation kind of came across my lap, and that's when I joined the foundation. It was just to get more experience, help more people, learn whatever I could about myself, my gifts, and, you know, what others were going through. And everything's just kind of taken off from there. Learned so many things. I still continue to learn everything that I know today. You know, it changes. You might know something today, and then it'll change. You'll learn something new, and that'll change your understanding of something. And so you're constantly learning.
That's true. You can see and hear me now, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yay, I figured it out on my phone now.
Figured it out? Good.
I was like, ooh.
Yeah, and I just when you think you've answered one question, you come away with 10 more questions.
Exactly.
So you're constantly evolving and learning. You know, what you think you know now is not going to be what you know next week. It's really...
It's like it's like when you're a writer, because I'm also an independent writer. It's like, you think you write one book? No. I'm up to almost 15 books now.
That's amazing. I can't even sit down and write a paragraph. I'm such an overthinker that I'll start to write something, and then I'll be like, no, that sounds stupid or dumb, and I'll go back and restart it like 20 times, and I kind of hold myself back in that regard. But
that's why I've been going through so many drafts.
I know.
Thank goodness for rough drafts.
Oh, I know. I probably wouldn't even get through a rough draft. I would probably chuck it and start all over.
I've done that. Let's see. I have a question here, but... So, have you ever had a personal paranormal experience? What was that like? You know,
all the time. All the time.
Join the club.
Yeah, right. All the time. It's like every day for me. And I can tell you one that's very profound for me, that just I'll never forget. No matter what happens, I'll never forget this. But I remember I was in my dad's house. I was upstairs. He's got a two-level house, and I was upstairs. And it was the middle of the daytime. Nobody was home. I think I had my children with me who were young at the time, and they were downstairs. And I remember walking through the loft. And I remember, I thought it was a bird at first. It was just so big and bright and white, and it was so big. And I was ducking, like it was coming at me. I was like, oh, duck, you know, because this bird is gonna hit me in the head. And I remember ducking, but it wasn't a bird at all. It was just like a big ball of bright white light. And so I thought that was pretty weird. And I was like, did I really see that? Did that really happen? So that's probably one of the ones that I won't forget.
Were you able to catch it on camera, or just with your eyes?
I know. I wasn't even doing anything, and it wasn't like, you know, it was so long ago too. It's not like the phones we have today where you could pull.
I wish we had these phones back then.
It was back when we had analog phones that didn't even have cameras. That's how long ago it was. And you're just not thinking at that moment to grab a camera.
Exactly.
And that time it would have been, you know, grab a camcorder, which I never even had, you know, just laying around.
And even then, even ready, like, you know, it could happen any time in a moment. And just like, you might miss it. Sometimes it's hard. Unless you have cameras everywhere, like the Omen house. I didn't have been in his house, but he like has cameras everywhere. Mm-hmm. So it's like, that's what I need to start doing.
Oh yeah, yeah. And I don't leave cameras around my house. I like to investigate places outside, but the home is kind of like your sacred space, your safe place. So you know, I don't put the cameras up or the recorders or do anything like that.
I was wondering if this really leads to my next question, because I always wonder if by having those cameras running 24/7, would I actually build up to more paranormal activity, like open more doors, do you think?
Well, I don't think just the act of having them running 24/7 does anything. I think, you know, there's energy all around us. We're energy. The things we can't see are energy, and it just kind of comes and goes. I think sometimes we just got, you know, the right opportune moment. When those cameras are running, that, you know, if they weren't running, we wouldn't be able to see them. But since they are running, you know, we get a chance to kind of see some of them.
I should have saved your bio. I thought I saved it. But, yeah, so when, if you don't mind, when did you become part of the Warning Legacy Foundation?
I want to say about 2 years ago, I think. It may have been a little sooner than that. I can't really remember. You know, things happening during the pandemic are kind of like a blur. But I want to say that it was a little right in the middle of the pandemic when I joined the foundation.
I passed my first year.
Are you? Oh, congratulations. Yeah, I think I'm going on my second year with the foundation.
Oh, and, nice.
Yeah, it's been nice. My favorite part is helping people that come to us with questions, and you know, they're looking for answers. And of course, a lot of the times things that are natural get blamed on the paranormal. So it's good to talk them down and say, oh, you don't have to worry about that, or you don't have to fear this. You know, it's most likely other things than it is the paranormal. I think in my experience with the foundation, in other cases, a lot of the experiences or reported activity, I want to say like 90% of them have been, you know, naturally explained.
That's true, especially if you have like a bright aura, like I have, you know, even Christus. Like, I agree, because I have things happen to me all the time. And I've just gotten used to it over the years. It used to excuse my language, the hell out of me. When I was growing up, they're like, what's wrong with you? And you don't really talk about those things back then.
Yeah, no.
And I think you're crazy and for the nut house.
I know. Even now, it's kind of hard, too, to talk about some things, especially if you don't have, like, a group of people that you can trust and that you can talk to. Even now, I know, like, with my family, we don't talk about these things with my family because, one, it scares them, and, two, they probably just think I'm nuts. And, you know, it gives my kids the excuse to kind of...
I had at least one grandmother, and she's still alive, bless her, and she always knew that I had these abilities. Mm-hmm. She tried to train me a little bit, mm-hmm. So at least I had her, you know, I could talk to.
Oh, that's good.
And she helped me with astral traveling, and I tend to do that now without even trying.
Yeah, it's amazing how sometimes you think you can't do something and then you've done it and you didn't even try hard, or you weren't even looking to do something like that, and it just happens. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's like one time she went to another psychic, and the psychic's like, there's something special about your granddaughter, about her hands.
Uh-huh.
So I may have some healing abilities as well.
Oh, wow. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, and people that I prayed for, they said they felt intense heat.
Really cool. There's actually, I can't remember the name of it right now, but there was actually,
Reiki?
I'm not sure. There was a movie based on a woman who could do that. That she was in a car accident. She almost died. And when she came back, she had the ability, you know, to heal people with her hands. I think
I have lots of traumas in my life that probably opened some doors.
Yeah, that's true. So sometimes it just makes you more vulnerable to be able to experience them.
Yeah, now you know, now that I'm older, I've learned to accept it, you know, it takes a long time to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I know for me, I had experiences growing up when I was a kid, and I always said weird things and saw weird things, but it really didn't come to like full swing for me until my 40s. lost a family member, and then after that, it just kind of shot through the roof from there.
Yeah, I know what it's like to lose someone close to you. It's yes. Kind of hard when you have to grieve, and then the other things start happening, like... Yeah,
I think for me, though, when those things started happening around that time when I lost my my family member, it was confirmation. So that was comforting. It wasn't such a scary thing. But it's still a traumatic event that, you know, you still think back on and kind of reflect on it a lot, even years later, you're still thinking about it.
So I have a few more questions if you don't mind.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Let's see. What other common signs that a place might be haunted that you look for?
I'm sorry, say that again?
What are some of the most common signs that you look for in a haunted house?
Common signs? Well, of course, each place is going to be different. I don't think no two places are the same. It depends on a few things. I know of one house in particular that I have in mind that it sits in the middle of a battlefield where there was tremendous loss and death and just bloodshed. So for that particular-
Like Gettysburg?
Like Gettysburg, yes. Only
that's on my bucket list.
Yeah. So, I mean, places like that, a lot of times when somebody says haunting, they're thinking of like doors slamming and things being thrown and, but it's really odd things like
Mormon poltergeist.
Keys will be missing. Like you'll set them down and they'll be missing and they'll be found like outside on a different location. And for each experience or activity that's reported, there's usually something behind it. It's a motivation by an energy or maybe the person who's experiencing it is going through something in their life. And so usually there's a connection between who's experiencing the activity and what the activity is. So if I'm just thinking back through a case of a gentleman, very stressful career, deadline driven, works out of the house, doesn't get out, you know, except to walk the dog, maybe just all that pent up energy, emotion, stress, you know, and things start happening like appliances will end up in the living room or things, you know, they'll take the dog for a walk and they'll come back and things will be on the floor from the bookshelf. And so usually we look for a connection between the activity and the person experiencing it. Sometimes it's natural. Sometimes it's that person. Because, you know, we're all energy and we have the ability to do things with our own energy. And so we make that connection between the person and the activity. And sometimes we find that it's not always a spirit or a ghost. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. Just each one is very different.
I was thinking while you're talking, how can we tell the difference is whether it's not our energy or like poltergeist?
Well,
or is it bad to say?
Poltergeist is caused by a person, a living person, which is called the living agent. Right. And so most of the times when people say, oh, it's a poltergeist, they're thinking of that movie, you know, with, was it Barbara Hershey, I believe her name was, you know, with stuff flying around and, you know, or
they're
poltergeist
here.
The movie. Yes. You know, things swirling in the bedroom. But
yeah, I love that film.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's a good film. What we have discovered through various parapsychologist is that type of activity is caused by somebody with just a tremendous amount of energy that they have not processed or they don't know how to release and expel. So it comes
out to me a
as
lot.
Kind of like psychokinesis. They used to call it telekinesis, but they've coined the term PK, which is psychokinesis now. The
right.
ability to move things with their mind, kind of. So poltergeist activity, in my experience or in my opinion, is usually caused by a person going through a lot. They say that it's teenagers, you know, hormones, things going on in their life. They're just trying to figure out what they, where they fit in the world. And so teenagers and all their raging hormones and things like that will cause poltergeist activity, but they are the cause.
I wonder if it might be also an adult, since it happens to me. I have some sort of disabilities way back when.
Yeah, adults can definitely be the agents for that type of activity, especially if they're under so much stress, you know, and they just keeping it all inside without having an outlet to release it properly. I have experienced cases where people who are so stressed, adults, they're just so stressed out, and they've got so much going on and all this energy pent up inside that they don't know how to get it out there. And it spills out eventually in this manner, with things, you know, kind of falling off shelves or being moved and stuff like that. But
kind of reminds me of Conjuring.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I haven't had an experience like that. That's, I mean, and again, that's a movie, so I don't know how it's.
I've experienced
my family had it.
Light poltergeist activity. I only heard things move, but I haven't seen them move. But I do hear things.
So you heard them move. So were you hearing them with maybe your mind's ears or were your physical ears?
I think both.
Both, yeah. I don't know. I
was at the open house. And we heard, first we felt a cold spot, and that usually signifies a spirit or something. Mm-hmm. And then shortly after that, we heard one of his figurines fell down.
Oh, really?
So, and his hammer actually caught that, so.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's good confirmation.
Yeah, that it's pretty cool when stuff like that happens, especially when you can get it on camera.
Yeah,
because what is the saying? If you didn't capture it on camera, did it really happen?
Hearsay, right?
Yeah, right.
It's like a lot of my personal experiences happened when I was younger, and you don't think about document anything, right? Like to your later years. So it's like... Yeah, I've had a lot of weird things happen. Even now, I can't really capture it, you know?
Oh, yeah, I don't even try to. Yeah, I don't even try to. Now, if we're in a place where we're investigating, we've got our cameras up and our recorders going, that's when we're really looking to capture something, you know, because obviously you want to have something to present to the client or explain to the client. But normally I'm just, you know.
I'm so weird, and depending on what location I'm at, I would either freeze, run, flight, you know, or I would run towards it and try to capture it.
Oh, would you?
I've done that.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
And sometimes when I see something, like, I cannot explain, it's like, I want to freeze, you know?
No, I wouldn't. Yeah,
I just freeze. It's weird.
Oh,
and like, when I have my, UFO experience, I had quite a, you know, UFO experiences out here and in our former town, and one of him actually very close to me talked about close encounter. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I was really wasn't afraid, actually. I was just like, I was just like in awe, you know, and it's come up that close to me.
Oh, wow.
He was 3 feet away from me. And from our house, mm-hmm. We had the large windows, and it was like right up that close to our house.
Oh, I can't say I've never had any type of UFO or, you know, encounters of the third kind or the fourth kind. I don't know what they call it, but I haven't had any type of experience like that. I keep looking, you know, every time, you know, I'm outside, I keep looking to the skies, because there's people that have had more than one experience with like UFOs or ETs and grays, and you know, I'm pretty sure they exist, but I haven't had an experience.
Oh, yeah. Especially, I think, the more, my saying is, the more open you are, the more you'll see.
Oh, I think so. Okay. Well, so yeah, I'm always so like ADHD too. I'm probably not paying attention enough.
Yeah, I think they're just like kids and they want to get your attention. Yeah. You know, yeah, like, you know, they're around. I don't think they're meant to scare us. Even though it does sometimes, you know, as many years I've done this, I'm still get startled. But at least I don't run out like I used to. Yeah. Yeah, I'm learning to accept it. So, yeah. You know, it still startled me from time to time. But yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. I would probably be startled too. I'd probably run the other way.
So would you say you have some psychic abilities? And then
I think everybody has. I think everybody has some ability that we're all born with. We just kind of blow it off as we get older, or we don't really pay attention to it. But right. I mean, obviously, there's times where you're talking to people and you say something and it happens to come true. I think that's true for everybody.
It's like, I've heard it be called a psychic medium and just a medium because I can do other things like besides talking to dead people. I hear them and sometimes they'll show me things, and that's what I like. I think it's called remote viewing. I can do that better, I think. Sometimes. So that's why I love to help on some cases. So when you guys need help, let me know. I can remote view.
Yeah, sometimes when we need to get an idea of what things look like, we'll reach out to there's a few people that are really good at that too. And I know you've done it for a couple of our cases as well. Especially for the one up in New York, that comes in handy. It kind of gives people an idea of what the client's like, what we're looking into, what we're going into, if it's going to be something that, you know, if we're going to be traveling to doing an on-site investigation, we like to kind of to remote view in and look and see what's kind of there waiting. Because it's, you know, obviously we don't know these people, you know, we want to help them, but, you know,
right.
You kind of have to be safe and of course we do with the client, but they also like to kind of see and get a feel for what type of energy is there.
It's like, for me, it's like, I feel fine when I'm at home because I'm familiar with everything. But when I'm not out, it's like a whole different arena. Yeah. Like my senses are more heightened, put it that way.
Oh yeah, aww.
So that's why I need to get out more, but if I can help you guys, just let me know. Yeah, I know you need to get off more, right?
Definitely. Yeah.
I was just gonna ask you but I know we started late. Oh my gosh, I felt so bad.
No, it's okay.
I don't know if you wanna pick up again another time.
Oh yeah, most definitely. I would love to.
Yeah, hopefully you'll play nice for us.
Yeah, I know. So hopefully the electronics will cooperate for us.
Yeah, I do apologize. I don't know, we had tech issues earlier.
No, it's quite right. It always happens. Sometimes I want to take my computer and just pick it up and throw it out the window. Yeah.
Pour holy water, thrown out.
Holy water, yeah.
But yeah, I do appreciate you being on our show. Yeah, if you have any more things you'd like to share with us or how they can get in contact with you, for you?
Yeah, Facebook's probably the best way to get in contact with me. Stephanie Algaidi, that's my Facebook name. You can find me that way. If you need help, you can go to the foundation. Their website is warrenlegacy.com. Go to the contact us, and we've got, if you want to join the foundation, if you think you might have what it takes to be an investigator, we're looking for people who have a real strong residential background in their experience, or if you're just somebody that needs help with the paranormal, something paranormal going on and you're not sure, we can help you out there too. So you just click on those links and fill out the applications, and somebody will be reaching out to you.
Right. In case you don't know, the Warren Legacy Foundation was founded by Chris McKinnell, who's been on our show a few times, and he always wants the math. And Lori Warren.
That's right.
They initially started the foundation.
Yeah, they started it together back in 2014. I think I heard Chris say he wanted to be on your show again soon.
Yeah, well, it wasn't about him. And whoever I have next year, I'm going to have Joe Frankie. He'll be on with us at the end of next month. So, yeah, anytime between then or December, I'm open.
Oh, you got it. I'll reach out to you.
Awesome. Just, I'm sorry if you're so sore and we got on kind of late, man. It's okay.
No, it's okay. It happened. Trust me, this is like every Zoom meeting or podcast show I get on, there's always technical difficulties. And it's usually on my end. Yeah.
Huh. I thought it was like, probably both of us were both highly.
Yeah, right.
I hired him, I have to sit back sometimes. But.
No, you're good. You're good. Well, I enjoyed it. Thank you very much for having me.
And of course, I'll save my questions, more questions for you for next time.
Of course.
Thank you for being here with us tonight. And I guess we can close off now. But if you guys have any questions, even after the replay, I'll be on replay. Hopefully, I'm going to try to save it. It should be on everywhere and YouTube, and I'll check there as well and
okay. Share
it. So thank you, Stephanie, for being here with
us
tonight. Y'all have a happy and safe Halloween.
You too. I like your costume.
Thank you. Might as well go all out, right?
Yeah, right. All right.
Okay. Bye, guys. Peace out. Bye.
I was just telling you thank you. That was fun. Because I didn't want
to
just
anytime.
Pop off here. Have a good night.
Thank you, you too.
You're welcome.
Bye, guys. Have a hand in here.